Today's daf in Masechet Pesachim is daf Kuf Chaf. We've gotten up to the the two dots. And let's just clarify what is going on here, because things are not 100% clear. And that's because it's not 100% clear when we are eating that matzah to be yotze our chiyuv of matzah. Are we eating the chiyuv of matzah at the time that we eat the afikoman? We eat the chiyuv of matzah right at the beginning of the meal. The fact that we make the bracha at the beginning of the meal doesn't prove very much, because if we hold like Rav Chisda, that's exactly what we do when it comes to the lettuce. And we would make the bracha even though we're going to be out to the Iker mitzvah later. Now this revolves around a lot of issues. For instance, I'm sorry, this is the only mic I have. I don't have my fancy mic with me. Is everything clear? If it's clear, then don't interrupt and let's continue. I mean, I can always put on my Apple phones and so on. But if it's clear, we'll always start, please. So now the question is the Korban Pesach itself. When we ate the Korban Pesach? When did we eat the Korban Pesach? So we've been assuming that the meaning of the words of Pesach, Nechal al Sofa, is that we did not eat the Korban Pesach until the end of the meal. Now that is definitely not the opinion of many of the Rishonim, according to whom we start the meal exactly the way we start the meal with the matzah. Now see how reasonable this is. We eat Pesach, matzah, and moror exactly like we said we were going to do with Hillel, right? So we did the Korach after we actually did eat the Pesach, matzah, and moror at the beginning of the meal. The only thing is that since you have to be Eichel of Pesach al Hasova, that even that's not clear, you see. Why are we eating the Pesach al Hasova? There is a halacha that all of the korbanos are supposed to be eaten al Hasova stam, because that's Derech Gedula. And remember, it says by the Matnos Kuna, it says Lamashka. From where we learn out that we should treat korbanos with a sense of great dignity. So they shouldn't just be eaten as if I'm eating fast food and I'm on the run and I'm grabbing myself a shawarma. They should be eaten with the sense of I'm doing this because it's a mitzvah and I'm not driven with a mad appetite to have to eat them. So, I mean, if that's the case, so then maybe enochinami, the way to eat the Korban Pesach is at the end. However, it may also mean that you have to eat at the Zman of the Chiyuv together with the matzah. We don't eat separate matzah to make a bracha at the beginning of the Seder and then wait until the end of the Seder to make the bracha on the Korban Pesach and to eat the Korban Pesach. What's much more reasonable is that we eat matzah, moror, and Pesach as part of the Chiyuv at the beginning. Exactly the way that we make our bracha on the matzah. We make the bracha on the Korban Pesach. Then we set aside, exactly the same way that we set aside today, we set aside a kezias of matzah to eat at the end for the afikoman. This is true even according to those shitas like the Rashbam, who holds that the eating of the afikoman is the actual main time that we're being mechavin to be yotze archiev matzah, because that's when we would be yotze archiev Pesach at the end. But if you hold, and this is the way most of the Rishonim Paskin, that we are not eating the afikomen to be yotze archiev of matzah. We are eating what we call the afikomen. I hate that word because it's literally against all meaning of the use of the word afikomen in the Mishnah, and it's really very confusing. And I'm only using it because it's a popular term. Nowhere is it used in any kind of halacha format whatsoever. So it's really a bit stupid. But anyway, we eat that ersatz afikomen. We eat that not as the actual chiyuv of the achilas matzah. The chiyuv of the achilas matzah is at the beginning of the meal. Then we eat that ersatz afikomen as a zecher to the Korban Pesach, and only for that purpose, as a zecher for the Korban Pesach. Which would mean that the whole discussion that we had yesterday about Shmuel and ein maftirin achar achilas matzah afikomen would mean when we eat the matzah at the end of the meal, zecher lePesach, we treat it like the Pesach. Now that would mean But if you haven't started eating your afikoman, then there's no problem of eating other things. Let's say where we said, you're not supposed to eat other things, you're not supposed to eat in two different places, all of those in yonim. That's only true when we're now pretending that we're eating the carbon pasa at the end of the meal. Now, the question is, what about when we started eating at the beginning of the meal? So over there, enochinami, as we'll see after we finish the daf, I'll go over with you the different shitas about that. It's a machlokas rishonim, whether this is true even the first matzah that we eat. Rambam says it's true even after the first matzah that we eat. But that could well be because of the fact that the Rashbam holds that the Iker matzah is at the end. The Rambam holds the Iker matzah is at the beginning. At least that's the pashas of the Rambam, even though the Aruch HaShulchan wants to say otherwise. But in any event, here's the deal. A number of issues. When we eat the Ersatz Avikomen, is it also as the Iker Chiyum matzah? One machlokas. Beit. When we eat the Ersatz Avikomen and we're eating it Lezecher, the Karban Pesach, is it eaten together with another Kizayis, which is a Zecher for the matzah that was eaten together with the Karban Pesach, which is the way the Maharil learns, and is the reason that in many of your Haggadahs it says, make sure to eat two separate Kizayisim for your Afikomen, because that way you will have one Zecher LePesach, and you'll have one zecher to the matzah that's eaten. Furthermore, question, when we ate the Karban Pesach, did we wait till the end of the meal to eat the Karban Pesach, or did we start at the beginning of the meal and keep a kezias for the end so that we should be able to be yotze eating the Pesach al hasova? Well, it depends why we say we have to eat the Pesach al hasova. So as I mentioned to you a moment ago, one of the reasons is because it's the Derech Gedula and Marsha. But that could be, they were not mechuyev to eat every last bit of it. That way, we should first be mekayem our mitzvah, and then we should have a kezias at the end. Or, other Rishonim learn, we eat a kezias of the Korban Pesach at the beginning of the meal, together with our matzah, and then we keep most of it for the end of the meal, to be able to eat it al hasova. Or, others learn, we don't eat the Pesach at all at the beginning of the meal, we eat only the chagiga, and we wait until the end to eat the mitzvah of the Korban Pesach, and that is what the ersatz, I even forgot what they call it now, afikomen. That's what the ersatz afikomen is about. But there's another explanation, which Tosis brings over here from the Yerushalmi, which is why the Pesach would be eaten only al hasova. And that's because since the Pesach is so young, it's a very soft korban, which means that much of the cartilage is edible and is easy to mistake for something that you can bite into. But the halacha is, as we saw earlier, that anything which is going to ultimately become bone is included in the isser of etzem lo tishbru bo. So we're afraid that if people are eating very heartily, says the Yerushalmi, that they will bite into cartilage, which is ultimately going to harden, and they'll be over on etzem lo tishbru bo. So because of that, we take away the edge of the appetite by the beginning of the Seder, and then by the time they're ready to eat the Korban Pesach at the end, they can be very careful about the etzem lo tishbru bo. Okay, now obviously, there must be other reasons for eating al hasova, as Tosfos himself points out, because mincha is eaten only al hasova, and that would be because of the other issue al hasova of derech gedula. So what the Yerushalmi is adding is another point, but according to which we would not eat the Karban Pesach at the beginning until the end, because of the fear of maybe being over on etzem lo tishbru bo. All of these things we'll discuss, and we need to keep in mind the complexity of the halachas, halacha lamaisa, which is further confused by the question of the timing, which is, do we paskin, like Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria, that the zman of the achila is until chatzos, or do we paskin like Rabbi Akiva, that the zman of the achila is ad haboker? And then the question is, bizman hazeh, when we're being mekayim, be'erev tochlu matzot, would we eat the matzot until the morning, or would we eat the matzot only until chatzot? Now, this would be a question also Lagabi the Afikoman. It's an incredible pressure to try to finish the Afikoman before Chatzot. Because, and if you hold your chayef to finish the Afikoman before Chatzot, you're also chayef to finish the Hallel. So that means you have to finish the entire Agoda, the Afikoman, and the Hallel with the final kos. I mean, that's like, I mean, you barely get started the meal by that time in most homes. So it's a very, very difficult kind of situation. Yet this is the way that everybody says, the chatchila, you are certainly supposed to attempt to finish everything by chatzot. The Rambam paskins that matzah bizman hazeh, the mitzvah is called halayla. There is no inyan about chatzot. So then that would mean the only aspect about chatzot would be that it would be a zecher l'Pesach, which even according to Rabbi Akiva argues and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, remember that we said the Chachomim made a harchaka, so that people should eat earlier, because otherwise if you keep eating till the morning, you may end up eating noza, not realizing that it's already morning. Because that they were marchik you from the Avera, and said it's better to let the Korban Pesach become posel, rather than to give you a chance of eating noiser, because eating noiser is a chi of koris. And therefore, keep people away from the morning, let them finish by chatzot. Okay, so no matter how you read it, the actual pressure at the time of the Achilas HaPesach would have been really very, very significant to finish eating your Pesach, which is now the Ersetz Afikomen that we are eating to memorize, commemorate the Pesach. So they had anyway the same pressure. Anyway, we're up to the two dots. Omar Rava, what is the matzah that we eat bizman hazeh? Is it drabonon or is it diorita? Says Rava, matzah bizman hazeh is diorita. The morer that we eat bizman hazeh is drabonon. Why? Says the Gemara. What's the difference? I mean, I understand why morer is drabonon. It says in the pasuk, al matzot umrorim yochlu. So that means if you have a Korban Pesach, then you have a Chi of Merori. If Bisman Deleka Pesach, there is no Chi of Merori. But that Tzotzik also mentions Matzah. And if you're ready to extend the Lima that way to Moror, so then why is it not exactly the same in the on the Matzah? Doesn't it say that Matzah Nami Haktiva Matzot Merorim Yochbuhu? Yes, indeed it does, says the Gemara. But matzah, ma'adar ha'dabaykro. When it comes to matzah, there's another pasuk, as we saw before. And the other pasuk is be'erev tochlu matzot. And therefore, that new mitzvah, be'erev tochlu matzot, is mechayev us even bin bizman hazeh. But since it only mentions be'erev tochlu matzot and doesn't say anything about morah, so morah remains with the understanding of if al matzot morim yochlu, then morah. And if not, then no more. This is how Rava understands it. Revacher by Yaakov Omer, Echad Zeh, V'Echad Zeh is only Drabbana. So what does he do with the pasuk that says, Be'erev Tochlu Matzot? Be'erev Tochlu Matzot, says Revacher by Yaakov, is referring to the Zman of the Beis HaMikdash, where there is a Korban Pesach. But it's referring to someone who cannot eat the Korban Pesach because he's tummy, or he was Bederach Rechoka. So you might think that in that case he would be potter from the Achila of Matzah, because he's unable to bring his Korban Pesach, even though it's his Zman Chiyav of Pesach. Kamash Malan Be'erev Tochlu Matzot, then he has a Chiyav for eating in the nighttime Matzah, even though he's unable to eat the Korban Pesach, because he's Tomei, let's say, right? So because of that, it says, Tomei v'shaya b'derech rechoka, sar g'day d'chamina kima d'b'pesach lo ochel. So b'matzah, he also will not ochel, comes along the pasuk to tell me kamash melan. Rava says, nah, I don't need a pasuk for that. I need it for zman hazeh, where there is no korban pesach. Why do I not need a pasuk for that, v'rava? Rava says, look, he's no different than an Orel and a Ben Nechar. And an Orel and a Ben Nechar, remember, does not mean someone who is non-Jewish. Ben Nechar means, So this guy, now what would be the case where we're being mechayev him? So it could be that he is a mumer l'dover echad. He doesn't eat meat. And he is such a dedicated vegetarian that he says, listen, I'm happy to eat morar and I'm happy to eat matzah, but be damned if I'm going to put any of that animal in my mouth. So he refuses to eat the Korban Pesach. So in that sense, it was nisnachlo myself. Is there still a chiyuv on him, meaning that it's a mitzvah, on him to eat matzah and morar? Or do we say, since it was nisnachlo myself, he cannot eat matzah or morar, he's not mechuyev to eat matzah or morar either? So over there, it says beferish that he remains chayev in the matzah and morar. How does it say that? Because it says, kol orel lo yochal bo. Bo in ochel. He doesn't eat the actual Korban Pesach. Aval ochel b'matzah u'morar. He does eat the matzah u'morar. Now, just you should know there's a big machlokas about how to understand the nature of the discussion in this Gemara. We might be talking about someone who's a mumer l'dover echad, and therefore it makes sense to say that the Torah is giving him the chiyuv to eat matzah u'morar. Same thing about the oral. We might be talking about, as we normally assume the pasuk is talking about, an oral who doesn't want to be an oral, but he comes from a family of hemophilia, and therefore he's an oral. Fine. But there's another way of understanding, and that is that we are referring to someone who was an oral at the time because he was unable for some reason to get a brit milah, but then subsequently, before Pesach Sheni, does get a brit milah. Or we're talking about someone who was, in fact, Mishnis Nacher, and he was a mumer, and then he did teshuvah, and he became chayev in the korban at the Pesach Sheni. So that would be two very different ways of learning the sugya, as we'll see in a moment. So therefore, Rava says, I don't need to know that a tamei or hoya b'derech rechoka has to eat matzah that night. Why would he be worse than an oral of a necha? Because it says kol orel lo yochal bo dafka in the korban pesach in ochel, but he would still eat matzah morah v'idach. Whereas Rav Acha says, listen, it says it in this one, meaning in the case of orel ben nechar, and it says it in the case of tamei v'derech rechoka. And now here's the question: does the next word appear? Remember, we had this whole sugya before, and it did not say the word tzrichet. And what Rashi said over there is that sometimes the Torah gives a chiyuv in one area, gives a chiyuv in another area. Doesn't talk anything about a tzriche. Here the girsa is tzriche, and the Rashbam understands that the tzriche is that the mishaya tamei v'bederech rechoka, he is going to have an opportunity to bring the Korban Pesach at Pesach Sheni. So therefore, for him, I need the pasuk to say, listen, don't think that since anyway he's going to bring the Korban properly in Pesach Sheni, he's not mechuyev to eat the matzah and the morar tonight, the Pesach Rishon, that he would still do the Pesach Rishon. And so I would say, okay, if it only said one pasuk, I would have said, listen, an oral and ben nechar don't have an opportunity to eat the Pesach Sheni. But a tamei v'hayah b'derech rechoka, who does have an opportunity to eat the Pesach Sheni, so maybe Enoch Inami, he doesn't eat. He doesn't have a chiyuv of eating tonight. Therefore, we need both psukim. This is how the Rashbam understands it. Now, of course, all of that revolves around the question of whether there will be an option to eat b'Pesach Sheni in the case of this Orel who became Nimol, or in the case where he became Baal Tshuva in the case of Pesach Sheni. So you can see there's room for both gersaot. Okay, continues the Gemara. Tanya kavasid Rava, we actually have a braisa that says like Rava that matzah bisman hazeh is dioraita, because it says in the braisa sheish et yamim tochal matzot ubayom hashvi atzeret l'Hashem Elokecha. Now this is a fascinating example of one of the most interesting of the midah shatera nidrashet b'hem, which is very counterintuitive. So we know that we were told to eat for 7 days, we're supposed to eat All of these days, matzahs. Remember, Berishon, Be'arba'as, Hayom, Lachodesh Be'erev, Tochu Matzot, Ad Yom Ha'echad Ve'esrim, Lachodesh Be'erev. That certainly sounds to me like you're supposed to be eating matzah for 7 days. Comes along a pasuk, strangely to say, 6 days eat matzah, and on the 7th day make a yontif. But it doesn't say anything about eating matzah on the 7th day. So then what it's telling me is that, well, you don't have to eat matzah on the 7th day of Pesach. Okay, so what does that mean? For 6 days I do, and on the 7th day I don't? No. What it means is the fascinating rule, which is called a yotze min haklal, kol davar shehaya bechlal, v'yatza min haklal lelameh. So we had a klal that said, 7 days, you go ahead and you bring matzah. So that is, okay, all 7 days. Now comes along the pasuk and is motzi min haklal. How is it motzi min haklal? Says, no, not the 7th day. Not the 7th day. Okay, so if it's motzi min haklal, then it was lelameh. So it's coming to tell me a special din, not the 7th day. Ah, but lo lelameh al atzmo yatzah, el lelameh al haklal kulo yatzah. So based on this pasuk, I now know that there is no chiv of eating matzah unless it's together with the Karban Pesach. And this whole thing is just a rishus. If you wish to eat matzah, go right ahead and eat matzah. I'm not stopping you, but I'm certainly not going to be mechayev you. So mashvi rishus, af sheshes yamim rishus. My taima, havidavar shaya bichlal, v'yatzah min haklal olamed, lo lelameh al atzmo yatzah, ela lelameh al haklal kulo yatzah. Okay, so now we're left without any chiyuv of matzah unless it's together with the Pesach. Ah, yochol aflayla rishon rishos. So now I understand. What do I do about the first night if I don't have a korban Pesach? Is the first night at the Seder also only midrabanan? Talmud lomar, al matzot morim yochlu. Oh, wait a minute, but that's together with the korban Pesach. Ein liyala bizman shebet hamikdash. Kayam, and there is a korban Pesach. Bizman she'ein beit hamikdash kayam minayin. How do I know that bizman hazeh I'm still chayev? Tamud lomar be'erev tochlu matzot hakatuv kaf o chova. So the Torah was mechayev us in achilas matzah, even if there is no korban Pesach, even though it was removed through the din of sheshes yamim from a chiyev, except with the korban Pesach. So this is clearly like Rava. And now a word from our Capitan. Yashnu mikzatam yochlu. If some of the people that were in the Chabura fell asleep, when they wake up, they can continue to eat. But if kulam, if the entire chabura fell asleep, then when they wake up in the middle of the achilat, of the ersatz afikomen, which is keneged the korban Pesach, or if it was really the zman of achilas Pesach, then they cannot continue eating. Why? Because it would be similar to eating the Pesach in two places. Since when you fall asleep and you wake up, everything is now like a new world. So it's as if you changed places. This is going on Libra Yehuda, who holds that the Pesach may be Nechal B'Shnei Chaburas, but it's not Nechal B'Shnei Mikumot. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Rabbi Yossi says, well, now it depends. Nitnamnu Yochlu, Nirdumu Lo Yochlu. Now there's two completely different ways of how to understand Rabbi Yossi. One is L'chumra, and one is L'kula. The way of learning L'chumra is the way that the Rashbam learns. And he understands that Rabbi Yossi is saying, now, wait a minute. You're saying if not the entire Chabura fell asleep, then the people that did fall asleep, when they wake up, are not in a new place because the other people were awake. But that's only if the people that did fall asleep didn't fall asleep totally, and they were only mitnamnim. We'll see how we define that. And if they were only mitnamnim, so then when they wake up, they can eat if there were other people there. But if they totally fell asleep, then even if there were other people there, they cannot eat. That's the Rashbam's approach, l'chumra. The Rambam, when I say the Rashbam, I mean not only the Rashbam, he's the one represented here most. The Rambam, and again, I mean not only the Rambam, but many of the other Rishonim learn, that Rabbi Yossi is going Lekula. And Rabbi Yossi is saying, this that you said, that if everybody falls asleep, and then nobody can eat when they wake up, that's only if they totally fell asleep. But if they were only mitnamnim, then even if everybody fell asleep, that's not really called asleep. And then when they wake up, they could continue. And that's the way the Rambam learns, and that's the way we paskin, like Rabbi Yossi, but Rabbi Yossi Lekula. HaPesach Acher Chatzot Mitamei Et HaYadayim. Once Chatzot comes along, the Pesach becomes notar. Now that is a big chiddush, because it's only true according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, who learns that the Zman Achilas HaPesach is Ad Chatzot and only Ad Chatzot. According to Rabbi Akiva, that the Zman is Ad Sha'at Chipazon, even if the Chachamim were Marchik Et HaAdam Min HaAvirah, they certainly did not give it a din of Noser yet. And that's the Ad HaBoker, and we only have Noser in the morning, and then we have Boker Sheni for Tzreifa. So, as the Gemara will be Medayik, this Mishnah is Stoma, like Rav Elazar ben Azariah. So it's Metame Tayadayim, because in general, Pigel and Nosar is Metame Asayadayim, Midarabonan, as we saw before, and we're going to have an understanding of that Machlokas, review of that Machlokas in a moment. Rabbi Yossi Omer Nitnam Lo Yochlu Nirdemu Lo Yochlu. How exactly do you define Nitnam Ne? So Echi Dami Nitnam Ne. Omer Rav Ashi Nitnam Ne means Nim Velo Nim Tir Velo Tir. Now, there's a big problem over here because in many places, this sugya appears in many places. Echi Dami Nitnam Ne and so on. And in many places, the Mepharshim explain, Nim Velo Nim means you're falling asleep, but you're not fully asleep. And Tir Velo Tir means you're in the process of waking up, but you're not fully awake. Now, that doesn't make any sense over here, because if you're in the process of waking up, then obviously you were completely asleep before. And if you're completely asleep before, we agreed that in itself, right away, will possible you from eating. So it can't mean that here. So therefore, some learn that still, that's what it means, except that it became an expression, nim velo nim, tir velo tir, so we're using it over here. Others understand nim velo nim means you are asleep, but not fully asleep, and you are awake, but not fully awake, not at different times. It means that there is a state of mind which is partially awake and partially asleep. And therefore, the awake part, although it seems that you can communicate on some level with the person, is not fully aware. And therefore, we don't call it fully awake. The part that says asleep and implies that this person is unconscious is also not fully asleep because of the fact that we do get certain responses. And that is defined as follows. Kagon, the kori leva ani. You call the guy, and you say, Richie, he says, yeah. So, Richie, where did you put the keys? Yeah. Richie, I need the keys to the car. Where'd you put the keys to the car?
Yeah, I don't remember.
Did you put the keys to the car under the front mat? Oh, yeah. So then, that would be a classic case of semi-conscious and semi-unconscious. That's nim velo nim, tir velo tir. Did I just help you find the keys, Rich?
Yes, but that's my life. Isn't that the way everybody lives?
So you mean, do we have to redefine consciousness for people that that's maximal?
Very familiar.
Okay. So there, that would be called mitnam nim. Hi, Rich. I love you. Now, it once happened that Abaya Abi Yosef came to Rabbah. So there was Abaya sitting on Rabbah's table, and he sees Rabbah is sort of dremeling. Amalei Meim Kanaimai. Well, Rebbe, you're asleep. What's going on? You're not going to be able to eat. Amalei, no. Hey, man. I was only Minume Kamanamne. All I was doing was dremeling a little bit over here. I wasn't fully asleep. It's not. Nitnam Nemu Yochlu. Only Nirdemu Lo Yochlu. But I wasn't a Nirdemu. So everything is fine. Now, of course, this depends how you're learning the sugya, like the Rashbam or like the Rambam. So if he had been asleep, then even he wouldn't have been able to eat, is the way the Rashbam learns it. And it would be a good thing that you guys are here. And he was going on Liber Reb Yossi. According to the way the Rambam learning it, there was no problem at all, because even if everybody had been mitnamnim, there wouldn't be a problem. HaPesach HaChatzot mitamei et hayadayim. So what do we see from here? Apparently, Alma michatzot havile notar. Who is the Tana who holds michatzot havile notar? Reb Yosef, this only works out on Libet Reb Elazar ben Azariah, the Tana. V'ochlu et habasar balayla hazeh. That lashon, says Reb Elazar ben Azariah, is learned out from another layla hazeh. Ne'emar kan balayla hazeh, ve'ne'emar lahalan ve'avarti be'eretz Mitzrayim balayla hazeh, in describing makat bechorot. So ma lahalan ad chatzot. So just like we know that makat bechorot was kechatzot alayla, so too balayla hazeh is referring to chatzot alayla. Av kan ad chatzot. Omar lo Rabbi Akiva, how can you say that? Halo ne'amar chipazon? Doesn't it say v'achaltem oto b'chipazon? Should say halo kvar ne'amar b'chipazon? So what does chipazon mean? Chipazon can't mean in the middle of the night, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu said atem lo tetzu ish b'petach b'toad boker. So it must be that the chipazon would be the chipazon in the morning when it's time to leave. In which case, dafka the pasuk is saying to you, eat it as long as it hasn't come time to actually leave, which is dafka boker. So how could you tell me it means balayla hazeh? So that must mean that we know the answer, even though we don't discuss it over here, but we know the answer to that, the Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah says. He says that chipazon means not the chipazon. I note that the Rebbe and his cohort over here are watching Sesame Street. If you want to join the Sesame Street watchers, please at least blank yourselves there. Okay. So, the answer that Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah provides elsewhere is chipazon does not necessarily mean the chipazon of Yisrael, which is until they're ready to get out. Chipazon is a reference to the chipazon of Mitzrayim, because starting at Chatzot, the people in Mitzrayim were banging on the doors of the Jews, get the heck out of our country, please leave, we'll do anything, get you out. So that was already a time of chipazon, and it's at that time that you're supposed to stop eating. So understands Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Okay, but Rabbi Akiva continues to say, so then how do I understand matam domar balayla hazeh? Because yocho yehenechal, you might think that it's no different than any kachim. Let's say a korban toida. So if you had brought a korban toda, what would you have done? And basically, a korban pesach is a korban toda. So you will treat it with the same type of zrikas dam and shvicha and so on, huh? Although obviously we don't do the first two zrikas, but okay. So I would think, have a korban toda. The day that I bring the korban, I eat it. The night after, I eat it. It's the same thing over here. I bring the korban pesach. I eat it the day that I bring it and continue eating it during the night. How do I know I can't do it? Eat it during the day? It looks awfully good. So that's what it's coming to tell me. That I might have thought that it would be dafka. Makachin b'yom, tam alon b'balayla. B'laylo ne'achal. You can only eat your korban pesach in the nighttime. Okay, but that explains balayla. It doesn't explain balayla hazeh. And Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah was derish layla hazeh to be similar to yatzati beretz Mitzrayim balayla hazeh, What does Rabbi Akiva do with the Laila Hazeh? Ah, says Rabbi Akiva, I'll tell you what I do. Ahumi Baile Lamuti Laila Acheru Diata. That's coming to tell me there's only one night that you have to eat the Korban Pesach. Sakadat Kamino of the Pesach Kachim Kali Mishlomi Kachim Kali Mashlomi Nechol Mishne Yomi Velaila Echad. Av Pesach Ukin Leles Bemokum Yomi Vienechal Lishne Lelot Viomechad. Kota Rachmana Hazem. So I might have thought that a Korban Pesach, remember, really forget about a Teda. A Korban Pesach, what is it really? It's a Shlomim. Vaharaya, even a Korban Pesach, Meser Pesach, Pesach that was over Shanasa and so on, it should be brought as a Korban Shlomim. So I might have thought that it actually has the Dinei Achila of a Korban Shlomim, in that a Korban Shlomim can be eaten for the day that I shechted it, the night following, and the next day. Okay, so I would have said, if the Torah wants to push off the Zman Achila of the Korban Pesach and to begin eating it at the night, so then we should provide the exact same onot of Achila, except we start at night. So if a Shlomim is day, night, day, then the Pesach will be night, day, night. And therefore we should be able to eat the Korban Pesach until the end of the second night. That's how the Rashbam understands. Rashi understands that certainly we're not allowing you to eat the Korban Pesach during the daytime because we already darshan night. Therefore, it means we'll allow you to eat the second night, but it doesn't mean we'll allow you to eat the day in between, to which the Rashbam says that doesn't make any sense. I mean, the day, it's true, you can't eat during the first day, but that's because of Alayla Hazeh. But once you started to be allowed to eat, why not allow him to eat it during the next day and then the following night? Okay, so it's a machlokas how to understand Rabbi Akiva. Fine, but in any event, I definitely need a miut to tell me that the Korban Pesach cannot be eaten for the period that a Korban Shlomim can be eaten. Says Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, how in the world could you eat it in the day if it says, for God's sake? So then that would mean once the daytime is there, it's usher to eat. What kind of crazy havamin is that? That I would be allowed to eat it during the daytime? Or be allowed to eat it if you go like Rashi in the night after the next daytime where it's super duper nosir? What kind of crazy havamin is that, Rabbi Akiva? No. If the Torah hadn't said Balayla Hazeh, Havamina my boker, boker sheni, I would have thought that when it says Lo Tatiru Menuhat Boker, it means the next boker, the boker of the morning after the night of the 16th. That's what I would have thought that it meant. And Rabbi Elazar says, that's ridiculous. Go like it because of boker, boker rishonu, I understand. If it says boker, it means the forthcoming boker. Why would I have said such a thing? Omar Rav, Ochal Matzah Bizman Hazeh Achar Chatzot, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Lo Yotze Gedei Chumato. You should know that the Chiyuv of Achilas Matzah Bizman Hazeh, if you paskin like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, is only until Chatzot. Same way that the Korban Pesach is only until Chatzot. Says the Gemara, well, I mean, obviously, we've learned all the dinim of Matzah from the Korban Pesach, right? I mean, it says, Amatzot Morim Yochlus, if the Korban Pesach can only be eaten until Chatzot, why would I have thought that the matzah could be eaten till the morning? Kiva Dizkish Lepesach Kepesach Dami? Not so, says the Gemara. Because remember, the Pesach already exed that Chiyuv. That was the Pesach that we had, Sheshes Yavim Tochlu Matzot, right? So what is Sheshes Yavim Tochlu Matzot? That if you don't have a Korban Pesach, so then, there's no chiyuv of matzah. We said, lo lamed al atzmo yatzah, lo lamed al haklal kulo yatzah. Isn't that what we just said? So then, what is the only reason that we're eating matzah bizman hazeh? Because we also had the other pasuk, be'erev tochlu matzot. Where does it say be'erev tochlu matzot only means ad chatzot? Be'erev tochlu matzot means until the morning. So who cares? If the it's true, if the Korban Pesach were here, so then I would only be eating at Chatzot. But if the Korban Pesach is not here, How do you know that it's only at chatzot? That's what Rava is saying. I want to tell you a big chiddush. I want to tell you that even though the entire mokar of the chiyuv has now been removed from the original getter of the chiyuv of amatzot morim yochlu, and now it comes from a new pasuk of erev tochlu matzot, nonetheless, the chiyuv, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria, is only until chatzot. Pretend it's the Cookie Monster who's speaking. Fine. So mal de tema afke kra mehe keisha, kamash malam de chia hadre kra, lemilta kamaita hadra. Therefore comes along the pasuk, and now I understand why the Afikomen is so choshev here, with for Moshe anyway. Of course, that's the point. Cookie. So, kamash malam, aim after nachra pesach. Sorry. All right, so therefore the chiddush of Rava is, even after the pasuk comes along and says, be'erev tochlu matzot, it's restoring the original parameters of the be'erev tochlu matzot. It's not a new chiyuv entirely out of the blue. It's limiting the exing, where we deleted the chiyuv because of the sheshes yomim. It's telling me don't apply the deletion to the night of the actual Korban Pesach, but it still retains those original chiyuvim, which is a very important thing to learn and to understand that that means that ultimately the chiyuv of achilas matzah b'zman hazeh is not unrelated to the Pesach. You see what an afkamina that makes conceptually. It's not just, okay, now we have a different mitzvah. The different mitzvah is be'erev tochlu matzot. No. That different mitzvah is only a way around the deletion of the chiyuv of matzahs that is linked to Pesach. But it retains all of the chiyuvim of that original al matzot umorim yochlu, which is a wonderful thing to realize. Hapigul v'hanotar metameh et hayadayim. Now, we had this machlokas before. Rav Huna v'Rav Chisda. Chan amar mishum chashdei kuna, v'chan amar mishum atzlei kuna. Why were chazal? And normally we attempt to make as little tuma in the Beis HaMikdash as possible. So why would Chazal be koveya tuma in the Beis HaMikdash in the case where something became pigel or nosar? By the way, there's a big machlokas about whether the tuma on the adayim that they were gozer from pigel v'nosar, whether they would actually say that it's metame kachin. Or is there no din of being metamei kachin b'yadayim at all in the Beis HaMikdash? And therefore, so what would be the point? That's a machlokas also. The point could be, according to some, that in the event that the Kohen would then finish the Aveda and leave, he would be tamei from what happened in the Beis HaMikdash. That's one approach. The other approach is that even though there would not be gezer tumas yadayim to be metamei kachin, they would be gezer tumas yadayim that the Kohen cannot be oved. So therefore, the Kohen would have to go back and do kiddush yadayim v'raglayim again. So therefore, it was b'chol zot, it was definitely no geel halacha to the kuna, but possibly not mefish tuma at all in the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, so but what was the reason that we made this takana in the first place? So before we get to that, which the Gemara is about to explain, Chad Amar. So first of all, you have Chashtei Kuna. Chashtei Kuna means Kohanim that maybe made something pigel. And Chad Amar Mishum Atzlei Kuna. They were too lazy to eat all of the things before they became Nosa. Another thing that they argued is, what is the shear of the Tuma? Is the shear of the Tuma one Kizayis, or is the shear of the Tuma one Kibetza of Nosa or of pigel? Now, the truth is that the first part of the machlokas is not a machlokas. They were talking about different elements of the takana. The one who said chashtei kuhuna was referring to why there's a gezerah on pigel. The one who said atzlei kuhuna was referring to why there's a takana on nosa. So chatani apigo v'chatani anota. Mandatani apigo mishum chashtei kuhuna. So what does that mean? So again, most of the Mefarshim learn Chashtei Kuhuna means someone who wants to mess up life for a person that he hates, and he bedafka makes his carbon pigel. Other Rishonim say that seems a little bit insane. I mean, and if we're worried about a guy that is so consumed by rage that he would be over on such an iser, so what, he's going to stop because of his tummy yadayim? Nah. Therefore, they understand. There's two other pshat. Rashi brings a pshat over here, which the Rashbam contests. And his pshat is that maybe a kohen who is bringing a korban chatas, a korban shalomim, and therefore is only going to get a chaz of a shok, decides that he's going to bring it l'shem a korban chatas, so he can get all the meat. So he's doing it in his own self-interest, to which the Rashbam says the obvious comeback. And that's not pigel. That's shelo lishmo. It doesn't say that there was a gezeira on shelo lishmo. So how could that be a part of the din over here? So the other pshat is, the third pshat is, that mishum chashtekuna doesn't mean chas v'shalom a kohen who is so vicious he would actually be over on the iser of pigel. It means that he accidentally made it pigel, and then he's embarrassed to tell people, and so because of that, we're chayshed him that he's not going to let anybody know about it. If, however, it's tummy, he's got to let people know about it because everybody has to know that this stuff is tummy. He has to burn it on the spot. So in order to expose pigulim that were made, which would be like a terrible thing for a kohen to have done, we force them to expose the pigulim by making them tummy. Okay, that would be chav shtekuna. The man detani anosar says, mishum atz lekuna. They are too lazy to complete the meal in time, and therefore they allowed it to become notar. Now, there is, however, a machlokas, not about chashte or atzle, but about the shear. Yes, so chadomar, there was one approach that says kizayit, and one approach that said kibetza, which has nothing to do with the other issue of chashtekun or whatever, and that is a valid machlokas. And what was that based on? This we saw earlier. So chad amar kizayit v'chad amar kibitza, mandi amar kizayit. Look, the iser of pigol, the iser of neiser is one kizayit. So if we're going to be geyser, we have to be geyser on the same shear of the iser. So the iser, therefore, is kizayit. Where mandi amar kibitza says, look, you can't create a new concept of tuma. There is a din of tumas oichlin, which this is. You could pattern this din on Tumas Ochlam, which requires a shear of Kizayis to make you tummy. So, a Kibetza to make you tummy. So, because of that, we had to stick with, even though we would have liked to do it Ki Yisuro, but we only have the mechanisms and therefore the shiurim of Tuma that we had, and that forces us to restrict it to a Kibetza. So this was the Machlokas that we saw earlier. Now, the remaining daf that we have over here is just the right size for our making a siyam on. When do we make the siyam? We make the siyam on Thursday, because since on the Erev Shabbos, we don't, on Shabbos, we obviously are not going to make the Tainis Becharis. On Erev Shabbos, we're not Misana. So because of that, Tainis Becharis is on Yom Chamishi. So then on Yom Chamishi, we can have our siyum. And that means that tomorrow we should begin the Sechet Shkalim. And therefore, I recommend that you all get your Shkalim handy. Which reminds me, Shkalim, money for the Kimcha de Pischa. Yes, there we go. Now, I got a very sad telephone call from Rabbi Kaplan last night. And he told me that he has two donors that were very substantial donors. And one of them used to give $25,000 every Pesach, and one of them gave $12,000 every Pesach. And since the corona, they have disappeared. One of them has literally disappeared. He moved out of the U.S. Hasn't been in touch. He has no idea even where he is. And one of them sent in $1,000 for Purim, which he had thought was going to be just sort of like a taste of Pesach, and it turns out that's all he was giving for both poor man Pesach. So now he is desperately behind. As he says, I do not go into debt in order to do this. And that's the only reason that I'm still alive to be doing it, which is definitely the case. All the other people his age that did go into debt doing this are no longer with us. So, therefore, he pleads that people should recognize what a serious situation it is. The need is great. He has very limited sources this year. We should try to do as much as we can in order to get him to be able to give as much as he can. Because it's not for him, because he ain't getting into a hole to get out of a hole. So therefore, it's literally a question of how much these people are going to have for their Seder. Okay, anyway, that concludes the daf. Now I wanted to, we still have a few minutes left. I wanted to go over some of the inyonim that we've been talking about over here. So we talked about the question of achilas matzah b'shnei mekomot, as opposed to just the achila of the Pesach b'shnei mekomot. Here, Rashi and the Rashbam both learn that the achila would also be true if he fell asleep eating matzah, that he wouldn't be allowed to eat matzah, and that is the way, in fact, that we paskin. Now, the question is, at what point that iser happens, when if you fall asleep, you wouldn't be allowed to eat? So the Rashbam, it's mashma that he began eating his afikomen. So since that achila of the afikomen, that was the zechel of Pesach, that's where we aser eating in two different places. The mashma'ut in the Rambam and in the Rush is that even before the achilas afikomen, if you fall asleep in the middle of the meal, that then you wouldn't be allowed to continue to eat if it was completely and totally asleep. But this, the truth is, might be dependent on the machlokes about when we're being mekayim the ikar mitzvah of matzah. So as explained to you, that's a big machlokes. According to Rashbam, since his shita is that the matzah of the chova is the matzah that we eat at the end of the meal and not at the beginning of the meal, so then it would be perfectly clear why it is that there would be no problem before the achilas safikom, because we haven't even begun to eat the matzah chova, according to the Rashbam, according to Rashi. However, as I mentioned to you, most of the poskim hold that it the kipshuta, that we are yotzei v'chi of a matzah at the beginning of the meal, the afikomen, the ersatz afikomen, is there as a zecher bialma. Because of that, even if you want to be machmer, like the Ma'aril, you certainly do not have to be machmer in the size of two kizesim like the Chazanish. I mean, that is really going nutso. So you could certainly be yotze with one large kizayis, even the sheet of the Ma'aril, that there's two separate zichronas, one of which is zecher lepesach, one of which is zecher lematzah hanechal im ha-pesach. And then you would also be yotze, just in case the halacha is like the Rashbam, and you want to go ahead and be yotze your main chiyuv with the achilas afikomen, but that would be rather strange because most people have in mind an absolute desire to be yotze their chiyuv of matzah at the beginning with the broch of al achilas matzah, which is basically the way most of the Rishonim are going to paskin. Okay, we paskin both like Rabbi Yochanan, Shmuel, Rav, the afikomen means don't move to a new place, and it also means don't bring out the goodies at this point. So the question is, can you be maftir achar hamatzah afikomen? Okay, so again, the machlokas, as I mentioned, is what is that last matzah? And the question is, if it's only lezecher, is it also not to be eaten an afikomen after what we call, not to eat, what the Mishnah calls an afikomen, after we eat the, what the popular vote calls the afikomen? So most people are machmir. Again, it's not most of the poskim that are machmir, but most are machmir even not to drink anything that would be strong tasting after the matzah, even though he only said not to eat. And as I mentioned to you yesterday, the Gra points out you're mechoyev to be mesaper b'tzias mitzrayim ad shechotavto shina, in which case you have to be careful not to drink anything alcoholic, because then that would be a real problem. Now, the other issue is...
And you could drink water.
Yes. Although this is actually, of course, vodka, but we'll pretend it's water. Now, the big problem is, as I said, first of all, what happens if you weren't able, you were late, you were a doctor on a call, and you come back, a coffee, most are mate, and you come back after chatzot, you know, what do? So because of the fact that it, even though, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, it's not the zman of the mitzvah, Reb Shlomo Zalman paskened that, of course, if you're on duty or whatever, absolutely, you should eat after chatzos, even though you're not supposed to eat after chatzos, because, after all, it's not 100% clear that just because we have this Stam Mishnah, Reb Elazar ben Azariah, as Tosis points out, we have other Mishnayas that seem to be Stam like Rabbi Akiva, not like Reb Elazar ben Azariah. So we do not necessarily have a clear psak like Reb Elazar ben Azariah. Now this leads to another question. Suppose you ain't got a chance of a snowball in hell of finishing your Seder before Chatzot, and therefore you see that there you are, your wife has just started serving the kugel, you know, potato kugel, of course, and you're nowhere near the ability to eat your afikoma. What in the world should you do? So this is the famous Avnei Nezer trick. Now, Avnei Nezer always has these great tricks. So the Avnei Nezer trick is like this. You make a t'nai and you say, okay, I am going to eat this current piece of matzah as an afikoman if the halacha is like Reb Elazar ben Azariah. So then you eat that as the afikoman. But if it's not like Reb Elazar ben Azariah, then I definitely do not want this to be my afikoman. And my afikoman is the matzah that I'm going to eat in another 3 hours, because that would be like Rabbi Akiva. So, okay, a little bit iffy, but at least it assuages your bad feelings about having missed the afikoman again. All right. That way you'd be eating matzah la'achreina to be yotze like Rabbi Akiva. Of course, the problem is that if it's zecher for the Pesach, then even Rabbi Akiva holds that the chachomim were marchikin as adam in aveira, so that it's a pretty poor zecher if I'm eating it at the wrong time. Okay, anyway, as you can see, it's in extremis for sure, right? And there's also a machlokas. What if you did eat something after the afikoman? Would you be mechuyev to eat the afikoman again in order to have that taste of matzah in your mouth at the end? And in fact, the Mishnah Berurah paskens, yes, you would. You'd have to eat the afikoman again. So be careful about that, boys.